Good evening. Welcome to God's house on this wonderful summer afternoon. This is the heat of Florida, isn't it? This is what we experience in the summertime. Well, Pastor Wendt and Kathy traded places with Nina and me this weekend. He is in St. Louis, and we came to Florida where we will be for several weeks. He is preaching tomorrow at the installation of a fellow pastor in one of the suburbs just south of St. Louis. Several announcements. Mary Ohl's memorial service is set for 11 o'clock next Saturday, June 30th. The visitation will begin at 10 a.m., and following the service, a lunch will be held at Timber Greens. There's no public internment. And the family has asked that those who are attending consider wearing either pink or pastel-colored shirts, since Mary was hardly ever seen without those colors. Other announcements, the Women's Summer Bible Study starts on Saturday, July 7th at 10 a.m. at Oasis Coffee Spot. Sign up in Northex 2. Faith Factor is at the district conference in Orlando this weekend, along with our representative, Frieda Steinke. Crosswalks and formal worship on Wednesdays continues at 6:30. And Vacation Bible School is coming. We're still looking for a director for this year's Vacation Bible School. If you would, give prayerful consideration for your participation. The Superheroes for Jesus Sunday School in Music Room behind Northex 2 during the summer at 9 a.m. And the Adult Bible Study will be tomorrow in the Sanctuary at 9 a.m. Well, let's rise and greet one another, then we'll start with the hymn sing. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Let us pray. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office and as an ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first lesson comes from the book of Job, the 38th chapter. The Lord answers Job out of a whirlwind. Reading from verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus for shall you come, and no further. Here shall your proud waves be stayed. This is the word of the Lord. And the epistle lesson is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter. By faith, having nothing, we receive everything. Reading from verse 1. St. Paul writes, working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of the resurrection of hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is the gospel of the Lord. We join Christians throughout the world in confessing our Christian faith this evening to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and is at the right hand of, and come again to glory to judge both the and kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, spoke by the prophets, and I believe in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just who is Jesus? Who is this man? That's the question that Jesus' disciples asked themselves in today's gospel. They knew what Jesus had done. They saw how he rebuked the wind, how he told the raging waves of the Sea of Galilee to be still. They saw how nature obeyed. And terrified, they asked each other, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" These men were followers of Jesus, after all. They had been with him for a while, and yet they really didn't understand just who Jesus was. Now, the Sea of Galilee is really a freshwater lake. It's located in the region of the Galilee. And the lake is only, it's relatively small. It's only 13 miles long, and it's quite shallow. At its deepest, it's just some 200 feet deep. As a result, energy from strong winds that come in from the west can quickly whip up waves in the lake. Instead of being absorbed by the water, as would occur if the lake were much deeper, and lying some 680 feet below sea level, the Sea of Galilee sits in kind of a bowl. It's bounded by hills, and the hills to the east of the lake are quite a bit larger than those to the west. They're some 2,000 feet in height. So with this topography, it's possible for a severe windstorm to arise, with the wind coming in from the west, from the moist wind coming in from the Mediterranean Sea, comes over the sea into the dry hills to the east, and it can quickly raise a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The resulting strong winds coming in at unexpected times, sometimes they simply rush through the hills and they drop to the Sea of Galilee with violent results. The storms, they often arise without warning. Small boats that are caught out on the lake during one of these storms, if severe enough, are in immediate danger. Now, Jesus' disciples knew the region of the Galilee quite well. A number of them were from the area. Those who were professional fishermen had spent much time on the lake where they earned their living. They knew the lake and its characteristics. It's even quite possible that some of them had previously experienced sudden storms on the lake. It was relatively early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus had called each of his disciples to follow him, and each of them gave up their livelihoods, and they followed Jesus. So as Jesus carried on his work, his disciples were with him. You might say they were with him 24/7. They were living with him. They were eating with him, staying where he stayed, getting to know him better. And in the earlier part of the day in which today's gospel occurred, they had spent the day on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus taught the crowds who were assembled there. And using parables, he taught them about the kingdom of God. And yet, when Jesus was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them to make it clearer to them, making what he was teaching clear lessons to his disciples. And yet, the disciples simply didn't seem to understand just who Jesus was. At the end of this day, after completing his teaching, Jesus came to his disciples saying, "Let us go to the other side." And as they entered the boat, Jesus went to the stern. Resting on a cushion, he fell fast asleep. And as Jesus and his disciples traveled across the lake, a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Now, the boat they were in wasn't very big. In 1986, there was a discovery of a fishing boat in the Sea of Galilee that dated from the time of Jesus that gives us an idea just how big this boat was and the danger that the disciples were in. Now, the boat that was found in 1986 was 26 and a half feet long. That's less than 3 10-yard markers of a football field. It was only 7.5 feet wide. That's merely 25% larger than a 6-foot person. And it was only 4.5 feet deep. The boat could hold up to 15 people. And so, with Jesus and his 12 disciples, the boat was almost filled to a maximum. So as the waves grew larger, the danger to those in the boat increased. So fearing for their very lives from the sudden treacherous storm, the disciples woke Jesus, asking him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now just for a moment, think how fierce the storm must have been. 4 of the disciples were commercial fishermen who frequently sailed in the Sea of Galilee in one of these small boats. And undoubtedly, they were used to the weather on the lake. And yet, this storm was so severe that they feared for their very lives, questioning Jesus whether they cared, whether he cared if they drowned. And when Jesus arose from his sleep, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Nature obeyed as the wind ceased and there was calm on the water. And then Jesus asked his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now the disciples' faith had failed them. As the storm threatened to capsize the boat they were in, instead of placing their trust in Jesus, who was right there in the boat with them, they cried out in fear. The disciples had given up everything to follow Jesus, and yet, when this fearsome storm confronted them, they failed to place their trust in the one they were following. And failing to completely understand just who they were with, they asked themselves, "Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, Jesus never promised smooth sailing to his followers. In fact, of Jesus' 12 original disciples, 10 of them died martyr's death. And the Apostle Paul, who was inspired to write much of Scripture, was beheaded in Rome. All who were killed suffered their fate because they were followers of Jesus. And so it is with us. Jesus never promised us that our lives would be without problems. Instead, our lives, throughout our lives, storms have and they will arise. Often they come suddenly. They come without warning. Even though we are followers of Christ, at one time or another in each of our lives, we've experienced sudden, unexpected storms. These storms can be devastating, as with the sudden unexpected loss of employment. Consider you're gainfully employed one day, only to learn the next that the place where you work is going to close, or there's a downsizing and your job is one of those that will go. You have bills to pay, a mortgage, a family to support, little or no savings to fall back on, and yet at your age and in the economic environment you're in at the time, another job will be hard to find. What will you do? It's easy for fear to set in, isn't it, as you think about the future. Other of life's storms may even be life-threatening. You've been very conscientious in seeing your doctor and getting annual physicals. In the past, the doctor has always told you that your tests came out well, you're in fine shape, you're the picture of health. But this time, it's different. This time, your doctor tells you that you have cancer. It's already in stage 4, and it's particularly aggressive. Circumstances are ripe for fear. What should be done? As they face the storms, Jesus' disciples question him whether he cared if they drowned. Fear got hold of them. Unfortunately, often that's our first response as the storms to the storms that arise in our lives. We may not ask Jesus if he cares if we drown. Instead, our question of doubt can come about with questions like, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Don't you really care about me? And just as Jesus wanted his original 12 disciples to trust in him, he also wants us to place our trust in him. So the question that arose for the disciples in today's gospel also arises for us today. And that question is, who is this man? Do we really want to place our trust in him? In his earthly ministry, Jesus clearly demonstrated just who he is. Consider that only God can calm the waves of the sea or calm the wind. Jesus did that and so calmed his disciples' fears. Only God can heal the sick. And yet, that's just what Jesus did. As he went through the region of the Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom, Scripture tells us that he healed every disease and sickness of the people. Only God can raise the dead. Jesus brought Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, back to life after Lazarus had been in his grave for 4 days. He raised Jairus' daughter back to life. And on the last day, Jesus will raise believers back to life and take them with him to eternity. Only God can save us from our sins. Now, Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, not because of anything he had done wrong, because, as we all know, Jesus is sinless. But he died on our behalf to save us from our sins. For as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. God showed us his great love for us while we were still sinners, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Indeed, this man, Jesus, who was in the boat with his disciples, he's with us in our boat today. That man is truly man, and he's truly God. He's the one that was promised by his father when Adam and Eve fell into sin. He's the one who was foretold by the prophets, the one who came to make payment for our sins. And he did this all out of his love for us. And as he ascended into heaven to be with his father, to act as our advocate, he simply didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. Instead, as he promised, he's remained with us, even to the end of the age. And just as he promised, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, who comforts us and calls us to faith. So today, rest assured that as we go through life, and as we experience life storms, Jesus is with us. He's with us in our baptism. For as St. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. He's with us in his word. For as the Apostle John wrote, Scripture is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He is with us as we partake of his holy meal this evening. For it's then that Jesus gives us his very body and his very blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It's the forgiveness that he won for us on the cross at Calvary. He's here with us this evening as we worship in this place. For Jesus promised, where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. And just as Jesus promised, as he ascended into heaven to be with his Father, Jesus remains with us, and he wants us to place our trust in him. And he invites us to call on him. He wants us to come to him in prayer. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light. No, Jesus didn't offer his followers a life of ease. He knew life storms would arise for each of us as we go through this sinful world. And he wants us to come to him, to trust in him. He wants us to cast our cares on him, to cast our anxieties on him, trusting in him because of his great love for us. And he will resolve them. He will take care of them in the most loving way possible, in the right way, at the right time. And as Jesus resolves the storms in our lives, remember that Jesus often works through others and through the gifts that he has given to them. He works through our neighbors. He works through our brothers and sisters in Christ. He works through physicians and counselors and pastors that he has placed among us and the tools that they have to offer. So as storms rise in your life, place your trust in Jesus. Cast your cares on him as you face these problems, being assured that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He will act at the right time and in the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. We now gather our offerings and present them to the Lord. Let us pray. Let us come before God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. O God, in the midst of the storms of life, be our rock and fortress, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Father, raise up workers for your harvest field, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We pray for all our pastors, missionaries, and church workers, that working together with God, they would proclaim the day of salvation and God's help, that their hearts would be opened wide in Christ to those they serve, and that they may help to encourage children and youth to consider roles of service in your church. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Almighty, guide and give wisdom to the leaders of our nation and lands around the world. Watch over those who serve in the armed forces of our land, as well as first responders, and also who work to protect and defend the freedoms we hold so dear. Grant them safety, courage, and dedication in their serving. We lift up our hearts in prayer for President Trump, Vice President Pence, Governor Deal and Scott, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that God would remember them in mercy and strengthen them in every good deed. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Maker of heaven, bless with healing and restoration according to your will those who are weak and suffering. We now take a moment of silence as we name before you someone in our own life in need of the special help and healing you provide in a time of silence. In their time of trouble, assure them of your presence and love. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the work and ministry of the Florida Georgia District over these past 70 years. We thank you for each of those who have served in our district over these many years, for the vision and direction that you have given to plant new churches, start new school ministries, to the training of leaders, for the wisdom and counsel you have provided through them. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Maker of heaven and earth, give us faith to receive the body and blood of our Savior for our blessing, that we will rejoice in forgiveness, life, and salvation you give to us in your supper. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, after he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. May the body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen. Let us close in prayer together. O God, your infinite love restores to the right way those who err, seeks the scattered, and preserves those whom you have gathered. Of your tender mercy, pour out on your faithful people the grace of unity, that your flock may be gathered to the true shepherd of your church, and may serve you in all faithfulness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Go in peace, serve the Lord.